Greetings to you today in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark, and this is the Daily Inspiration. This week, I'm planning on it to be more of a daily teaching. And in that, I hope and pray that it will be a real inspiration to you as you consider God's Word. And in a passage of Scripture that seems to be a little bit, or maybe a lot bit, confused and misunderstood in a lot of people's mind, and there's even a whole big doctrinal difference here. What I'm talking about is Romans chapter 9. If you can, I would hope that you could follow along in Romans as we look at some of these difficult passages and difficult maybe to understand, maybe because of the way that people have presented it. And it, yeah, we're going to look at some of these things, but instead of starting in Romans 9, what I'd like to do is lay a little bit of a foundation for Romans 9. And in doing that, usually foundation, maybe you'd go forward, you know, forward with, you know, Romans 8, 7, 6, and we could actually do that. But I think to get a clearer understanding of Romans 9, it would be good to look at Romans 10 and Romans 11 a little bit before we get into Romans 9. And so that's my overall plan for this week. And may the Lord guide and lead and direct and teach us as we look at this passage in Romans. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. I thank you for each one that's calling in. I don't know if they're calling in and it's early in the morning or in the afternoon or evening or in the middle of the night, Lord, but you know, and you know each heart, you know each person, you know what we need in our lives, and you know where we've been today, what we've been doing, you know what they're, the needs that we have in our lives. And I just pray that as we look at some of these things in Romans 9, 10, 11, that you would speak to our hearts, each one of us, Lord. Your word is powerful and quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word is like bread that can feed the multitudes. Your word, Lord, is like a hammer that can break the hearts, the rock, Lord, the stony hearts of our minds, Lord, or of our being, God. And Lord, your word is a fire that burns out the dross in our life, Lord. Your word is precious, and I thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that you have given it to us and that we can understand it, Lord. Thank you for this time, and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to look at Romans chapter 10 here quickly. Verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." So we see that what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is concerned about here is his own people, Israel. Paul was an Israelite. Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin, and he was a zealous Jewish man. As you know, Paul's story probably, or his history, that persecuted the church, and even had Stephen stoned to death, and many things we can know about Paul. He was a zealous man, thinking that what he was doing was God's service. And he is concerned for Israel. There's a reason why he's concerned for Israel, is because the Gentiles, in fact, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, I think he calls himself. And God was moving and bringing many Gentiles into the kingdom of God. And it seemed like the Jews were jealous of that, and they were, you know, like, there were many Jews that were saved too, the apostles, they were Jews, and many Jews, as we can read through the book of Acts, and that they were saved. But Paul has a concern because of the, he has a concern for Israel because of the concern that Israel has, that the Gentiles are coming into the kingdom of God, and maybe they didn't understand it from the Old Testament. Maybe they thought that they were preaching a different gospel, Paul and the other apostles preaching a different gospel, because, you know, it used to be to the Jews, and now it's, you know, the Gentiles are hearing and they're getting saved. So this is kind of what's going on here in these chapters. In verse 2 it says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God," the Jews, "but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," and he's talking about the majority of the Jewish people, they have in those days, they have, they're ignorant of God's righteousness, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And see, the Jews, they had the books of Moses, they had the Old Testament. Of course, they didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Old Testament, and they knew the Old Testament, and they also had their own, a whole bunch of other laws and rules and ordinances and things that they were supposed to do, and all these things like the washing of cups and the washing of their hands and all these hundreds of different things. And Jesus, as you remember reading through the Gospels, hopefully you remember where Jesus rebuked the Jews often of their the way that they applied all these, or they got all these other rules and all these other things, and they even forsook what God had actually said in the Old Testament, and they were going about to establish their own righteousness by their own rules, and that's what this is talking about. Verse 3, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And notice the word believeth there. Those who have faith that Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of all these ordinances and all these things that we're going to make ourselves right in the eyes of God. Christ is the end of all that. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but Christ's righteousness is what we all need in our lives. And in verse 5, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven," that is, to bring Christ down from the dead, down from above, "or who shall descend into the deep," that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart," that is, the word of faith which we preach. Paul and the other apostles were preaching salvation by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the life that Christ had poured out upon the cross for your sins, for my sins, for the Jews' sins, for the Gentile sins, that they were preaching salvation by faith, believing in Christ. And yes, when we believe, there will be good works. There will be things that follow in our life. If there isn't, we most likely aren't even saved. But we are not to do all these different things like the washing of cups and the washing of our hands and different things like that, even going around knocking on doors, talking to people. That's not going to get us saved. We can do good things, or we will do good things if we are saved. But verse 9 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. We're going to stop there today. I don't want this to get too long each day. We're going to stop there today. That's verse 13. But notice verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is what salvation is believing in Christ, believing in that atonement that was made, calling upon the name of the Lord, asking him to save our poor, wretched souls, because we deserve to go to hell because of our sin. But Jesus paid the price for our sin. That's the pure gospel, and that's the gospel that Paul and the apostles were preaching. And the Gentiles were coming to Christ, believing, and they were getting saved by the multitudes. And the Jews were looking at it, and they were, some Jews were getting saved, but others were looking at it, and they were saying, this is a different gospel. But it wasn't. It was the gospel that that God set up, that Christ preached, this this gospel of faith, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It wasn't a bunch of rules to follow and then you're going to be saved. It wasn't a bunch of do's and don'ts, but it was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend who's listening today, that is the same gospel that we need to believe, that we need to see. It's not what kind of vehicle you drive. It's not what kind of thing that we hold our trousers up with, our pants up with, whether a belt or suspender. It's not all these different things that is going to get us saved. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's where I'm going to end today. We're going to continue, though. We're going to look at Romans 10, Romans 11 a little bit, Romans 9. That's going to be the main focus, is Romans 9. So read ahead, look into it, if you want to call, and if you have any questions, you can certainly call me. I'd love to talk to you, maybe even about this whole thing of salvation by faith. Maybe you're confused with that a little bit. Give me a call. My number is 717-333-1786. God bless you today.